Oh, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the second episode of our illustrious and sharply named podcast, The Hot Toy Cast. Clap, gentlemen, clap. Well, I always have to get... You should just do it automatically. Clap. The classy and altogether upmarket podcast where you use your ears to listen and learn about all things high and collectible action figures from the likes of Hot Toys, Enter Bay, A3 Toys, and Sideshow Collectibles. Every month or so, your host and I will review and discuss the latest news and releases from those companies that make action figures we can only dream of as kids. Now, if you will, allow me to introduce your most noble hosts. My name is Master Eamon O'Donoghue, also known as Eamon on Toy Boards.
My name is Master Jeff Parker, also known as Wookster on many a forum.
This is Master Michael Crawford, known as Michael Crawford most places, including my website, mwctoys.com.
And I'm James Doble, also known as Jack Sparrow on the message boards.
We four are all lovers and collectors of action figures that cost us an arm and leg, or maybe perhaps a spouse or two. So now let us delight your ears with the reviews on the DX Luke Skywalker from Hot Toys, a figure we've all been waiting for flipping ages. So I will just feel this out there a little bit. Let's go with you. So Jeff, what do you think?
Well, do you know, I'm going to have to sit this one out because I'm the only guy here that hasn't actually got it in his grubby mitts at the moment.
So from
the pictures I've seen online, I've been hugely impressed. I know a couple of weeks back I had a few fevered emails from James saying, "Oh my God, have you seen the early pictures? It's all falling apart. The wheels have come off it, and it's a nightmare." And I said, "Then you know, hang on. You know, these are just early pictures. I'm sure it's going to turn out well." And then I saw the pictures that OMG, oh my God, posted, and likewise the ones that were put on a 1/6 Warriors by Luca, and I was blown away. I thought it looks great. I mean, I still think the sculpt isn't 110% nailed, but I think it's bloody good. And particularly the one where he's the kind of damaged face. But as I say, as far as having it in hand, I can't comment much further. So I'll hand over to you guys.
Mike, take us away, good sir. Give us your professional.
The sculpt is. I actually think the portrait without the hair is very good. And opposite of Jeff, I like the undamaged version better. I think it's something about the open mouth that kind of throws it off a little on the damaged version. But both of them, if you take the hair off, it's definitely Mark Hamill. Nobody's going to get confused or ask who the hell that is. Mm-hmm. The hair is what's just not working for me at all. The regular hair is decent, but still a little much. It's a little thick, a little too much to it. And the damaged hair, that sweated down look, gives him sort of this pinheaded thing going on there that I don't know. I'm just not loving it at all. But ignoring the hair, if you take that away, you know, I'm actually writing my review. It's going to go up tonight as we speak. So if you kind of ignore the hair, the portrait is good, and the rest of the figure. The outfit, the accessories, the diorama, it is just outstanding. I mean, just some of the best stuff we've ever seen. The lights on the diorama are so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I do like the way in case, of course, folks are wondering, there's like three lights on the diorama. There's like, well, it's kind of four lights, but it's kind of three lights. There's two kind of indicator lights on either side, and then there's like a big kind of neon blue light that kind of goes up through the strip and illuminates the little panels on either side. So like, my thing with the display base, it just seems like, it's to me, my personal opinion is, it seems like a little bit of a waste, because most people are going to be displaying this Luke Skywalker in their IKEA details or on such a thing. I mean, yeah, we've seen one or two people who have gone nuts and actually dangled a thing from the ceiling and stuff like that, but then I worry about dust and whatnot there. And it's a little bit unwieldy as well. It's like, Christ, where do you put this thing? And yet the base I really like is the Vader, what I call the Vader base. I'm sure there's Star Wars fans will have a go at me for not knowing what that base is. What is that?
Is it the carbon freezing chamber?
The carbon freezing chamber base. Why doesn't that light up with the red? I mean, I was really hoping for that, because I'm not going to display the antenna array. What's it called again? The antenna array?
Yeah, just like the aerial type thing, weather vane.
Weather vane, yes, the weather vane. I'm not actually going to...
I'm not exactly sure it's a weather vane, though. It wouldn't be on the bottom if it was a weather vane, would it?
Yeah. It's just like an antenna.
just a, you know...
It's just a complicated thing.
I mean, so what are you guys actually going to do with the weather vane? Are you going to... We've got it out already. You've got it on display.
Well,
I'd certainly plan on using it.
At a set up, but I'm going to use it, attach it to the ceiling. I'll put a black square above it in the ceiling, and then behind it I'm going to put some on the wall will be painted blue with clouds.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, you're going to town, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. That's too nice of a display. If you're using the, I don't know, if you use a Detloff, you can put it on the top, and just if you have to skip a top shelf.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I suppose you could put it on the top shelf and have them dangling down like that.
The inside of the top.
I mean, are you going to be displaying both your Luke Skywalkers? Because I'm going to go with the clean one and the laser gun and his Han Solo blaster. That's the generic pose I'm going to have in my Hot Toy Shop. And I might switch them out with the lightsaber one, with the damaged one as well. But right now, my favorite one is just him there with his blaster, like just when he landed and he's with R2.
Yeah.
See, I would have preferred R2 than the Weather Vane.
Oh, that's just too big an ask, though, because I'm sure that's going to come out in a few years' time or months, whatever it's going to be, and it's going to be a whole different kettle of fish, isn't it?
Yeah. It seems to me just like it's a very elaborate thing. So it's kind of refreshing, actually, that I'm hearing Mike actually. But are you not going to be worried about dust with the thing stuck to the roof like that?
No, I don't worry about dust. I display out. I don't display enclosed.
You display out. I mean, and how have your figures survived over the years?
I don't have a particularly dusty house. You know, you change your air filter once in a while. And
I suppose you got air.
I don't really have a problem with it.
All right, okay. I guess over in England here, we always got our doors closed.
So
skin just develops and flies everywhere. Now, so, James, you also got Luke Skywalker DX, and you also got the Batman, too. But before you go into the Batman, maybe give us your first impression there of Luke Skywalker.
Okay. It was an exciting week for me, actually. I got, I think everybody suffered a little bit from delays with Sideshow, from customs and everything. So the way I kind of got the figures was odd. I was supposed to get Batman first and then Luke, and I ended up getting Luke on Monday. Oh, yeah. And then I got Batman on Tuesday, and then just this Friday I got Hawkeye. So it was kind of an exciting Hot Toys week for me. But I love that Luke Skywalker figure. He may be my favorite Hot Toys figure to this point.
Oh, really? That's a bold statement.
I know. And I've
better
been
than
wrestling.
Terminator 1?
Better than Terminator 1.
Better than Superman?
I don't have Superman, actually.
Oh.
I know that's sacrilegious.
That is pretty sacrilegious.
Yeah, I don't have Superman. If you would have asked me prior, I would have... I had a real struggle between telling you that it's either Jack Sparrow biased, or the I think the 89 Batman is like a pitch perfect figure. But I think Luke just delivers on so many levels, and granted his outfit's not as intricate as Jack Sparrow's. I think that is still to me the pinnacle of like what kind of tailoring Hot Toys can do for this scale, because that outfit just is perfect and it comes together and doesn't look bulky when all those layers are on him. But I think they just nailed every single aspect of Luke. The head sculpts there, I love that you can interchange the hair pieces. I just love everything about it, and I'm a massive Star Wars fan, so maybe I'm a little biased in this case too, but it just I think it's rare anymore that you get a production figure that wows you more than the prototype did when you saw it, and that's how I felt when I cracked open Luke. So
he's very iconic on the shelf. I mean, he looks like, yep, I'm a proper movie geek. I like my movies. I like Star Wars.
Yes.
And it feels very like that on your shelf. And I think when people like go into the shelf and stuff like that, I think he's one of the figures that, even though he's beige, you know, and I know he doesn't stand out, you know, because some of the beige figures, they just tend to, like indie and stuff like that, they tend to kind of slightly disappear into the more louder colored figures. But, you know,
right.
I think Luke, because he just has that such iconic look. I mean, he looks like a proper movie icon. He really is one of those, like the DX Joker and the Terminator, he feels like a proper movie icon.
Yes, I completely agree. And that base is just breathtaking, and the lights on it. My friend came over and I showed him the lights and he was freaking out.
Yeah, it's cool.
So,
are you going to hang yours from the ceiling as well? Because Mike has already got his hung up and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I just put the stand on mine and I have it in my case for now. But I thought really hard about putting it on the ceiling. I think I might. You just got to worry about dust and stuff if you do that.
Yeah, that does seem to be a bit of an issue. All right, I'm not sure. I probably won't put my weather vane in. I'm just gonna leave it out of the detail, I think. But I'm curious as to you know, which Luke Skywalker I'm actually gonna put on display. I probably won't put the two of them on display, which probably might be sacrilege to your ears. But I'm just gonna go with the one, and I think the one I'm gonna go for is the laser gun, as I was telling the guys. All in all, we're both pretty happy with the Luke Skywalker, and so far for the pictures of you've seen, Jeff, you seem. Overall, I mean, are you
from what I'm seeing, I'm very happy with what I've seen. I'm looking forward to actually getting hold of it and kind of having a look at some of the sort of finer details. Yeah. But as I say, initial reaction, very impressed. But yeah, it's going to be suck it and see, isn't it, once it's actually in your hand.
I did have a couple problems with it. I did snap the wrist peg on the right side.
Oh no!
Trying to take it out of the arm so that you can put the either the medical cuff or the other hand on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had to, of course they give you extra pegs, so it wasn't a big deal. But boy, it was tight. And then I still haven't been able to get the damn arm off, so that you can swap to the cool nifty severed arm with the. I thought that was a great touch too. They give you a severed arm with a severed hand with the bloody stump on both of them, but they each have a magnet in them so that it holds together. So you can actually slash it off if you like.
Which begs the question, when Hot Toys make these things, are they making it with the intention that we're going to play with these things? Because it's like, I was like, all right, yeah, that. Oh, I didn't realize that was magnetized. I was quite taken aback, but it was a bit grim. But I was like, oh, okay, yeah, fair enough. I'm not sure if I'm actually.
Well, I kind of hope they are designing these things that are meant to be played with, because it's kind of, that is their primary objective, isn't it? But as you say, I mean, these aren't going to end up in the hands of many kids, but they're going to end up in the hands of some big kids who are kind of going to want all those kind of little details. It's kind of like the ultimate action figure, isn't it? It's kind of, it's the toy you would have liked.
Yeah, I guess so.
Back in the day.
And you would have cut the hand off when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And the beauty here is that it's just cool.
Yeah.
Even if you never do that, it shows that they care about the license, that they're paying attention to the license and what makes the license interesting and unique, and making it worth $300+ you're paying for this figure.
Which, of course, is the other big news, because, interestingly, it's now a Disney license, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Indeed it is. Well, the jury's still out. Bottom line is... I think when Disney acquires rights, of Avengers or of Marvel, the following year we got Avengers. So, and then to be honest, as far as I'm concerned, there's only one Star Wars movie, and it is Empire Strikes Back. I mean, it really is. That is you really. Yeah. I can see the hate mail flying in now. I mean, Star Wars 1 will always remain to me, will always be slightly derivative of everything else that preceded it in terms of science fiction and books. But he was the first one to put the stuff to celluloid. Pretty much, so that's why that's kind of established. But Empire Strikes Back as a movie is just awesome. It is.
I'm with you, but I think I'm still A New Hope. Still kind of. I think it's just because that's the one that takes me back to being a 10-year-old kid again, and sitting there in the cinema and just being blown away. And it's kind of, that was the life-changing moment. Empire just continued it and it was just brilliant because it was a science fiction movie. Yet it actually was more about character development than it was. Action, but there was plenty of action to keep you going as well. It was just on that level, it was amazing.
And the only one not directed by George Lucas too. So it's going to be that's what I'm thinking. The new movies that are going to do, George Lucas won't have writing rights on these, will he? He won't be directing these.
No, I think he's going to be some kind of executive producer or something.
That's fascinating. Yeah. I mean, he seems to let the Clone Wars guys go to town and their stuff. So
yeah.
Personally, I'm more happy that this happened for the Indiana Jones license than I am worried about the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Simply because after that last movie and what he has done with Star Wars, I'm just glad that we're not going to see Indy get re-edited so that the guy with the sword, the Cairo swordsman, suddenly shoots first or something.
Yeah, no, that would be terrible. That would really be absolutely awful. Okay, which this slightly awkwardly takes us on to our next review. Now, you two guys are kind of ahead of me on this one, because I actually have decided to opt out of this particular Batman figure. My reasons are as thus. Enter Bay Batman.
You're going Quarter Scale.
No, I got the Enter Bay Batman Begins figure, and I will tell you now, I think it is righteous beyond all belief. It is superb. I mean, there's one or two niggly things, but as an icon on your table, I mean, it shouts at you like it's the movie on your table. That's what it's all about for me. It's like having a little mini still of the movie on your table. And this Batman is... it's awesome. The feel of the plastic, the feel of everything. So I was like, well, how much Batman do I actually need? You know, because it's like, well, yeah. I know...
as much as you can possibly get.
As much as you can possibly get. That's, I mean, it's true. I mean, and I was... I am now deliberating whether to get the Enter Bay Joker or a Hot Toys DX Joker. I really don't know. The Enter Bay one is screaming to me, but I said if I'm going to go 1/6 or 1/4 rather, it's got to be the serious movie icons that hit you hard and resonate with you in some kind of way. Yeah. And obviously Terminators and stuff like that, they do resonate because they've been with you for a while. But, so, I probably won't be getting Dark Knight Rises DX Batman figure, but you guys have it. So I think on this one, Mike, do you want to take the reins on this one?
Well, I haven't actually started a review yet in writing, but I have cracked it open and played around with it a little bit. I haven't shot it yet, which is always an important part because when I'm shooting it, I can gauge my level of frustration if there's any issues with it.
Yeah.
But I will say that, and I haven't read the boards on any of this stuff. As I've said before, I try to avoid all that so that whatever they're complaining about doesn't affect whatever I might see. I will say that the PERS eyeball system there now has this little doohickey that is an extender, they call it. It's like a little arm that you reach up inside Batman's head to reach the actual joystick and move the eyeballs around.
What?
It works okay. Yeah, so that they can keep the... this way, Batman's head's solid.
All right.
There's that line that people complained about.
Yeah.
So now I'm sure they'll complain that there's no line, but now I have to reach up inside with a little doohickey. So
it's pretty much the same as it was on the DX02. That had the same kind of mechanism, didn't it?
I don't remember that. Did it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did.
And it works all right. I mean, I did notice that my eyeballs when I first got them out were a little cross-eyed. He was a bit cross-eyed. It seemed that if I moved them left all the way left and all the way right a few times, that they kind of adjusted themselves out so that the things straightened up a bit. But the neck attachment is magnetic now. You know, you've got the head attaches, instead of popping onto a ball joint, it attaches to a neck that's attached to the ball joint with a magnet.
Oh.
It's cute. I see why they tried to go that route. It gives you a lot of poseability. I mean, you know, because however you set it on the magnet is kind of how it looks. The problem is, well, it's a magnet, and so you bump the figure and the head falls off. It's not as sturdy. That's not as sturdy of an attachment.
So you couldn't play with Batman then, could you?
Yeah. No. Yeah, he's not. You're not going to play with him because his head's going to fall off every time you handle him. So I can see where that would cause some issues. The suit I thought was interesting. They kind of went, you know, we've had all those complaints about the rubber and some of the other suits.
Yeah.
And concerns about the rubber. This time it's more of a nylon material with some of that, I don't know what you would call it, the newer material that I think we saw. What was the last figure we saw that on, Jeff, where it's not the rubber anymore? It's more of a, I don't know what to call it. It's more of a bodysuit type material.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's just like a stretch fabric kind of thing.
Well, there's a stretch fabric in between, and then the panels are a little stiffer.
I think it's just some kind of rubbery plastic. It seems to be kind of almost like welted to the surface of the fabric, but
So I thought it was, you know, other than the neck joint right now, you know, I'm looking at it wondering, you know, you've got the two different faces and you've got the PERS system, but it doesn't quite have the level of accessories that we're used to, I don't think, in a DX.
It's got that light up gun, though, doesn't it? That light.
Yeah, it's got the new EMP gun.
Yeah.
But it's. I know where Mike's coming from. I think it does seem. It just feels like he needs a couple of little extra bits and pieces.
Kind of throwing, for a DX, throwing,
Yeah. I mean, I was liking the new head sculpt, the new Bruce Wayne head sculpt. That was very nice.
The Christian Bale. I thought that was good. I didn't think it was that much better though than what we've already gotten in the last time. You know, the last.
I know where you come from. I think the thing I did like about it was it's kind of like in the film. You know, Bruce is meant to be a few years older and he's been through the mill and he's not quite so quite so agile. And he just does look a little bit kind of dark around the eyes. He just looks like not quite as fit and happy a bunny as he was in the earlier sculpt, which I thought was quite a cool move. But I was overall impressed with it. My only real gripe is the articulation. I think I really love what they've done with the suit aesthetically. I think it looks amazing. But it really does suffer aesthetic. In the way that it can actually move and its mobility. The arms and everything are fine. The torso's got a little bit of movement, but the legs, he's literally becoming more and more like a statue. I mean, there's a little bit of movement there. You can move them apart, but you can't get him into a sitting position. I tried yesterday to try and get him onto the Batpod, and it's just not happening.
The new Batpod or the old Batpod?
It's the old one, but it's because you get that little attachment to put the EMP thing on the side, so I thought it'd be cool to break it out for the photo, which I'm hoping to do tonight if I've got time. But yeah, there was no way in God's earth he was going to sit on that bike. Not convincing.
That's disappointing.
Anyway.
So will he not even sit? So this figure won't sit on the Batpod.
Sorry?
He will not sit on the Batpod. Then this figure will not.
I can't get him on. I mean, I can get him into a kind of a semi kind of, you know, reasonable kind of pose onto it. But he's not sitting on it the way he's meant to be sitting on it. Basically, the best figure to actually get on it is still the very first version of the new suit, which is all kind of rubber. But that was the only one that you could kind of get into a decent position. But you can't get the head up. And the thing that's really cool about this new magnetic head is that you could get him onto the Batpod, the head can look right up. Really, you know, you can get him into like a Superman flying position. So the head's really cool for that. But yeah, as I say, I'm struggling to get him on the. I shall try again later if I can get some photos taken. I'm going to try and get him sitting on that bike. But yeah, yesterday I was getting pretty frustrated. I was like, this is just not going to happen.
In case anyone in the background is wondering what all the booming is happening, right over here today we have bonfire night, so there's loads of explosions happening outside Jeff's apartment. He is not under fire or assault from any organization.
I'm not in a war zone, but it does sound like you. Yeah.
You know, the militia are not after Jeff. Let us everyone just know that, okay?
You say that.
Shh, this is public.
Well, so yeah. Anyway, getting back to Batman. Yeah, as I say, on the whole, impressed. I mean, I've pretty much written my views, and I need to sort of like top and tail it. And so I'm going to try and get some photos taken tonight. And on the whole, I'm really liking it. I do like the new light up BMP gun. That's really cool. And I like the fact that you've got the sticky bomb gun again, even though it wasn't seen in the film. Which kind of begged the question if they're going to make it's almost like they're trying to make it the ultimate version. Why didn't they just stick an extra sonar head in as well with this one?
Yeah.
And maybe even the backpack that turns into the cape when he flies through the air in Hong Kong. But because that would have kind of made it the ultimate and hit all the bases and make everybody happy. But yeah, he just seems a little bit light on the accessories. But yeah, he looks good. He just doesn't move quite so well.
And my issue why I didn't bother with the last DX Batman because of that long neck. It just bothered the hell out of me. I was really looking forward to Batman and then in hand, and we saw it had this crazy long neck, probably maybe to house the batteries or something. I don't know why, whatever reason, the original DX Batman had an overtly long neck, and I never liked it. This one does not have that issues anymore, does it? It's a bit more accurate.
I mean, I wasn't that bothered by the first one anyway. I don't kind of really remember it having a particularly giraffe neck. But I mean, the DX02 did have the same mechanism. It did have the magnetic grip as well. It worked in the same way. So they're pretty much just kind of, you know, it's kind of repedaled the way they've done all of that. And as Mike was saying, it kind of is great. I mean, I've got it right in front of me now, and I'm kind of like moving the head around, and you can tilt it and look up and down, and it's really cool. But as Mike was saying, do not try and pick it up. Don't forget and try and pick him up by his head, because you'll end up with a very damaged dolly on the floor.
Yeah, I could see he could just fall directly out of his ears and crack one of those ears off. That would be horrible.
I feel like there's a lot of controversy with this one.
Oh, yeah. Well, give us your spin on things, because we've been hearing ups and downs. Oh, the head, the cowl still isn't right, and all these other things. And people are saying the mouthpieces are a little bit forward, and the interchangeability, you can kind of see the lip where they're kind of interchangeable and stuff like that. So give us your verdict, sir.
I really like it. I don't care for the cape, but I think a lot of people are of that mind. I think the body's awesome, especially when you put it next to the DX02. Mm-hmm. I think you can really tell that it looks different. I don't know, some people would say the DX02 looks better. I like the DX12 better, body-wise. There is a little bit of restricted leg movement. I think Jeff and I spoke a little bit about that when we weren't recording. but I really like it, minus the cape. I think I'll probably get like an aftermarket cape and put it on there. And I've been saying this to other collectors that I chat with really often. And this also kind of has to do with the pictures we saw pre-release from, you know, OMG and everybody else. I think that figure all comes down to how you pose him. Because you could make him look really stupid if you tried. But at the same time, I feel like if Christian Bale was in the Batman suit doing those things, he'd also look really stupid.
Yes.
So, if you think, like, I'm going to make this look like Batman, you know, and I, you know, tilted his chin down and used the purse to make his eyes look upwards, and I put the scowling faceplate on him, which, and I didn't have any problem with any of my faceplates.
Off I just like easily.
Yeah, and they all pop in pretty flush.
I had a nightmare with Mike Keaton Batman, dude. I had a nightmare.
Really?
I it's so difficult for me to pop the face. I just can't get a purchase on him, and I'm always afraid I'm going to smudge his face.
Yeah, that one's, you have to kind of like squeeze them, right? You have to bend them in there. Yeah.
I don't like doing it, cuz I'm always afraid I'm going to like crack the side of the cowl or something crazy like that.
I think I just left, I'm not sure I ever changed them. I changed them when I first got them, and since then I've just left kind of the neutral expression on his face.
Cool. So what the pose you have on him now is the one you just described, the belt down with the...
Yeah, and he's got his arms kind of straight down, and I moved them a little more flush to his body, so they looked kind of more relaxed, but he just looks mean and ready to do some Batman kind of stuff, and I think when you look at him like that, it looks awesome. It looks properly how Batman should look. But you know, I kind of understand how people are complaining, because when you compare the purrs to the prototype purrs were definitely kind of more of a squinty, darker look.
Right.
And these ones are a little bit more white, so I can see how comparatively some people would say he looks surprised. You know, and I've seen some really horrible examples of that figure where
he's looking down.
I think the QC
like
was
that.
Off. Yeah, and you know, it might not just be the posing and stuff. There might have been some wonky QC issues on that. Like a good friend of mine, Curtis, got one, and he did a video, and his shots of him don't look so great. And I know he wasn't happy with him, but I'm happy with mine. I wish I got the Batpod.
Oh, you don't have the Batpod.
No, I pulled the trigger a little late, so I'm kind of on a wait list for it. Hopefully I'll be able to get one.
Okay.
But I don't have it now. Right. I think if I did, though, I'd put the DX-02 on it.
Cool.
Just because the DX-12's legs seem so hard to kind of articulate into the proper riding pose.
I recently actually sold my... because I have the Interbay Batman now as well. I mean, are you guys not at all interested in the Interbay Batman at all? Is that just not, you're just not going near the 1/4?
No, I think
you know,
great.
I'm going to pick up. I'll probably pick up the quarter scale Joker.
Mm-hmm.
He's such an iconic character for me that's one that I'll probably pick up. But I don't know that I need to pick up the Batman too.
I'd like it, but as I say, I mean, I try to stick to 1/6 scale rather than 1/4 scale. But that, you know, that every now and then one comes along. I mean, the Terminator one, I thought that the outfit was just so phenomenal on that. The real leather.
I cannot wait for that. That is going to be crazy.
I like Mike. I'd quite like to have a look at the quarter scale Joker. And I'm really interested to see the new endoskeleton when Hot Toys bring that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, on the whole, I'm, you know, 1/6 is my first love. I'm going to try and kind of, that's always going to be the one that I'm going to kind of, I think, favour.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm the same as well, but my God, are the big figures so much fun. I mean, it's nice to put a figure on the table and you can look at the head at eye level.
Yeah.
Well, I have a ton of quarter scale. Not really my problem. I probably got, I think I've got around 32 of them on display right now on my bar. So, I love the quarter scale, it is, especially the premium format stuff from Sideshow. I love that style. And what I've seen from Interbay so far, I really like, but it needs to be, for me, the right iconic movie figure. I don't do any of the Sideshow DC stuff because it's all comic book related. So the Joker for me is one that is clearly an iconic movie character. Whether I get the Batman or not, you know, it also depends on, I like to have those always displayed, and you only have so much space. So, you know, I try to spread it out as much as possible over as many different licenses.
That seems to be the wise way to do it, actually, I think, as well. There's also the issues of storing the where to put these big figures as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves us then with the Batman. What's next on your what's next on the list then to be coming? What's next to be delivered in the house? What have we got coming next?
Well, for me, obviously, I'm still waiting out on Luke, and the one that I'm really excited about, having seen the pictures, the early pictures, is the Ironmonger, which just looks phenomenal.
I haven't actually had a proper look at that yet.
Yeah, there's some good pictures up on Orange Six Warriors and on Sideshow Freaks, and it looks like they've just done a phenomenal job on that thing. I mean, it's huge. It's I know a lot of people were worried that the scale wasn't quite right and it looked a little bit too small, but yeah, when you see it, you know, standing right next to some of the power suits, it looks phenomenal. It's fantastic.
Excellent. Right. Well, that kind of we mentioned it slightly earlier on in the episode, but may as well get into it now as well. One of our topics that we mentioned that we're going to do this week was Breakage Nightmares.
Oh yeah.
Now this kind of also comes off the back because literally last weekend I sold to a gentleman on the Sideshow Freaks my Batman Begins, my Batsuit Begins Batman, which at the time I thought would be like, yeah, that's all the Batman I need, and then the interview comes out and now it's all the Batman I need. But of course that Batman, that Bruce Wayne Batman, Batsuit Begins Batman, had notorious feet issues. So I was one of those individuals that got that Batman with one broken foot. And luckily I got in there quickly enough for Sideshow to send me a replacement boot. So that was fine. And then, somewhere along the line, both feet broke. So I never realized this until I actually sold to the guy, and I'm like, what? How is that even possible? Because, you know, the feet were on fine because the boots obviously hold them in place. So I just picked them up and was like, yeah, that's cool. Put them in the box. And it turned out that both feet were actually broken. And I'm just like, Jesus. How does that, like, happen? And is it because of the particular black plastic that he used in the feet? And stuff like that. So I felt really bad. I think the guy's gone off and getting his own boots now and everything like that. But has there been any other issue? Like, across the board, those feet on those beats, as people call them, were breaking on people. I mean, did you guys get the Batsuit Begins figure? What did you guys have that issue?
I did, but I didn't have an issue with that one. No, I say that. I mean, mine's in storage. I haven't broken them out for a while. So with the operative, you know, with the maximum where they're being broken out. So I hope he's fine. But yeah, when I reviewed him and when I had him out, he was fine on my one. The only one I really had problems with the feet, and it was kind of after I'd reviewed it, were the Aliens figure, the Aliens, at which I think had a ton of breakage issues. Again, luckily with mine, it was just the ankle pegs or the ankle cups. They decided to make them out of a kind of a clear acrylic plastic rather than it being black or whatever. And this clear acrylic used to just like literally crumble. You'd end up like an eggshell pattern of like where it all just like broke and crumbled. And they used the same acrylic kind of transparent cups on the Goemon figure. So he had the same issues where the ankles just kind of broke and crumbled. Those are the only ones that I've really had problems with the feet. But so I was okay on the Batman one.
There was one of the, it might have been the first Hot Toys Batman that I had a broken shoulder. That was the solid rubber suit.
Oh, yeah.
Which was totally unremovable unless you cut it up. And yeah, I had a broken right shoulder on that one, which is... He still has a broken right shoulder.
Right.
You know, that was a disappointment there, that's for sure.
What do you guys think then of the responses that we get? Because, I mean, Hot Toys have only ever replaced a body part on me one time.
Yeah.
And that was it. And every other email I got, I remember I got the Mark VI Iron Man. That one had a few issues as well, I believe. And as the law of sod would have it, I was one of the ones that kind of got one that had some issues. So his chest light was a bit flickery, it doesn't quite work, and somehow if you move his right arm up or left arm, the light on the chest comes on, and then the light on his arm comes on.
Wiring issue, isn't it?
It's some weird thing. But when I emailed Hot Toys, I mean, they don't seem to reply to any emails of this issue, or then they come back and says, oh, you must have bought it from a Hot Toys reputable seller. I goes, but honestly, what actual difference does it make where you buy it? If you bought an Iron Man within a month of it being first released, what difference does it make from where you, because they replied to me and says, oh, you didn't buy it from an official Hot Toy seller.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, but I just bought it off some dude off eBay. It was brand new.
Yeah.
What difference does that make? You were the one who was still supplied a dodgy item. or an item that doesn't work. So, I mean, what are your guys' opinions on just overall? Because Enterbay seemed quite slack as well. I mean, Enterbay seemed even worse again on certain aspects with the customer service. They don't tend to reply and stuff like that. And we know there's been a few guys who've had one or two issues with some of the figures.
Yeah. And, I suppose, I'm reasonably lucky in as much as because, we've been collecting them for a long time. And I was kind of in there at the very start when they first released the very first Movie Masterpiece figures. And I kind of used to email the company and got to know a few people there. So I've been lucky in as much as they, if I ever have had an issue, which has been really rare, actually, they've been pretty helpful. But at the same time, most of the ones that I've had issues with are ones that it's kind of, it's been like months after the event. So it's kind of like you couldn't really...
Yeah.
Doing the anyway, they wouldn't have any spare parts. I mean, I had a wrist peg break on the Dutch figure from Predator, which was a nightmare because it was a muscle arm. So ended up having to drill out the old peg, which was fine. Once that was out, I could replace the peg easily. But that was a bit of a nightmare. The other one that really kind of annoys me every time I look at it because it's getting worse every time I look at it is the Ed 209 figure, the rubber. Why they decided to use rubber on the cowl for that, I will never know because.
That was across the board as well, that one.
Yeah, I think everybody's is just like slowly crumbling and getting worse and worse. And he's one of the few figures that I have on permanent displays in my dining room. And I know there are some good kind of customs out there where people have made like replacement plastic domes that you can put on. They've done the texture and everything.
Yeah.
So I might have to pick up on those. But there again, they might even end up kind of revisiting the figure because I know there's talk of them revisiting the RoboCop figure because I know the new film's coming out, obviously.
Yeah. We saw a quick mock-up, didn't we? We saw an unpainted cast.
That's right. So, fingers crossed there'll be another Red 209 anyway. And I'm hoping they'll put even more articulation, perhaps make the pistons work and everything, because the other one, it looks great, but it didn't actually have that much articulation.
One of those ones I missed out on that one. I was dying to get the ED209, but I'm holding out now for a brand new one. But you're saying it didn't have much by the way of mobility because I thought all the little
it's okay, but when you see what they did later, with things like the power loader and obviously having seen what they've just done with the Ironmonger, if they can get that level of kind of engineering onto the legs, it's going to be phenomenal because there's so much potential articulation in that figure that they didn't kind of do last time. I'm hoping they revisit that and I'm hoping they give it a plastic cowl this time. Because that would be nuts.
Well, the rubber was just kind of a problem across the board, and that's the one problem I think they've had consistently that they never really did enough to address. Because the wrist pegs, when I first started with them, I was constantly complaining about broken wrist pegs, and then pretty quickly they started adding those extra wrist pegs, which was a good sign. You could tell that, they're listening. And
I must admit, I'm impressed. Sorry. Because I'm really impressed with the way Sideshow started putting wrist pegs on every hand. I think that's a really cool move. I think it should be just every hand as a wrist peg. So
yeah, that is really handy.
Yeah.
But the rubber, it just seems like the first time I really noticed it a lot was with the Comedian, and it's just they never really addressed it. They just kind of hoped it would go away, and they did seem to try to shift materials to avoid continuing the problem. But like Jeff, I usually have people I can talk to. So I'm lucky in that way. However, this doesn't mean that it necessarily means everything's good. I just recently had my original DX Joker, the PERS system broke, the little joystick where it attaches to the eyeballs inside. Yeah. And they said, send it to us. And then I also had the Tron cycle, which Jeff has done his review.
Yeah.
I had gotten that back, 4 or 5 weeks ago, about the same time, and I was putting mine together. And the little switch on the back that lights up the lights through the body was down inside the body. You couldn't reach it. It was way down in there. So I said, I've got these two problems. And they said, pack them up together and send them off to us. And that was probably 5 weeks ago. And the only thing I've heard so far is that, we can't fix your Joker head, which you could have told me that before I sent it to you, probably. and nothing else. So I don't have my Joker head back yet. I don't have my Tron lightsaber back yet. I don't know what's going on. So, and then on the flip side, I did have one time with the Batmobile where the lights weren't working. One of the lights was either burned out or damaged, one of the LEDs. And you could get the light out pretty easily. They were pretty good about that on certain, like the Batmobile. You can take it apart and unscrew those lights and actually replace them with just replacing a very small component. And so, yeah, they said, well, you know, you don't have to ship us a Batmobile or anything. We'll just ship you another one of those little components and pop it in there. And it worked. So, you know, it kind of depends, I think. They come and go. For a company, though, that's fairly far away from a large part of their customer base, you know, it's not like mom and pop shop down the street selling to the locals. Mm. I think they do a pretty good job. I've seen companies who do far worse. You know, companies that will actually come out and argue with people about breakage problems, or, you know, that somehow it's your fault, or and I've never seen that problem with Hot Toys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, do you think that a lot of, I mean, I was just wondering, what would be the percentage of Hot Toys sales? I mean, would a lot of people in Asia, East Asia, be buying, snapping up figures, say, as much as the States and Europe? I'd imagine the States
is the
biggest market.
Well, I think
they
are, except,
generally.
Again, remember, you're, you know, you've got Hong Kong and China and Japan and Singapore. Mm. You know, it's all, while it's relatively close from our perspective, it's not like, you know, in the States or in Europe. It's still fairly, you've got import and export going across the board.
Just makes you wonder how those people over there get on with their customer service and whether they've got any more luck than we do, in fairness. Because it's like, I mean, you can kind of forgive the companies in a great way because, I mean, let's kind of cut to the kind of the BS about stuff. You know, if these figures were made in any of our countries, any of our Western countries, they would probably cost a lot more to make. The reason why we can get these figures so cheap is because of the low yen or the low currencies and stuff over in these parts of the world, and of course the labor that they can get in. And, you know, we'd like to think that dudes and dudettes who are making and, you know, assembling these figures and stuff that are well paid and things like that. But you wonder, are the profit margins of these companies big enough? Because, you know, it's such a specialist thing. Are the profit margins big enough? Because, I mean, Sideshow's customer service is pretty damn good for the most part. I mean, they seem really good, and they do tell you, and, you know, they keep you updated, which I do quite like. There's a personal service there with them. And, you would think then, do Hot Toys make the same kind of money as Sideshow Collectibles? Maybe not, I suppose, because, I mean, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of the question I'm asking. My question is there a relationship between the size of the company and the level of customer service that they get?
I would say that that's true, yeah, that certainly from an employee perspective, Sideshow is going to be a larger organization. I think Sideshow does a wonderful job with their customer service. They really do go out of their way to try to answer concerns and problems. And it's been one of their hallmarks, even when some of their other things, you know, like sculpting and back in the days when the articulation was not what it is today, you know, weren't as strong for them. Their customer service has always been strong. But, yeah, I think you're right. Hot Toys... there's probably also, you know, one of the things that would be interesting to ask an Asian collector is, do we also see problems just because of language barriers? If you have a small staff, is it likely that they're going to be as fluent, you know, you're going to have as many people who are as fluent in other languages, even English, to be able to staff customer service issues? You know, it's you're going to, on a small staff, you're going to have hired the people who have the most skills to do the specific things you need. And you know, when you're a company like Sideshow, those people happen to also speak English. So it's a little easier, I suspect, to have them also do customer service if they needed to.
Yeah, I remember back in the day when I first got the Medicom Darth Vader, I had an issue with one of the lightsabers that were broken. And I mean, that was an absolute nightmare, getting hold of somebody at Medicom that could actually even read my email and then reply to it. And it basically just randomly turned up in the post one day. Somebody had understood it, but they hadn't replied to the email, and this lightsaber just turned up. But it was kind of like weeks later. I think it is a problem dealing with customer services when they are in foreign countries, particularly a long way away. And you talk, like with what Mike was saying about the Tron bike, and when you've got to send something of that size back, it becomes very nauseating and annoying, you know, for you as the individual that's purchased this thing, because you think, well, you know, there's a lot of shipping involved, there's a lot of time involved. But there doesn't seem to be any kind of real easy answer. There's no way around it, because at the end of the day, these things are manufactured in Asia, you know, it's their company. At the end of the day, we're buying this product. So if you want to put it right, it seems to be the only option. Yeah, I think it's always going to be an issue, customer service, is when you are dealing with a company that is in another country. Obviously, we're quite often dealing with large, bulky items, like Mike was saying earlier about his Tron bike. So yeah, you know, when you've got to package something like that up and then, you know, pay to send it halfway around the world for them to then have a look at it and see if they can fix it, it all gets very frustrating. I mean, I can't really talk from the side train because I haven't ordered direct from them in quite a long time. I used to have a friend that lived in Texas and used to do a lot of commuting. So I used to get stuff delivered to him and he'd bring it over, and I never had any issues anyway, so I never needed to use them.
Oh, handy. Delivery, personal delivery.
It was cool, yeah, it was cool. But he's back in Texas now, funny enough, but he doesn't come back to the UK as much. So, and I thought it might, you know, he might wear a bit thin as an invite if you keep a if you keep doing stuff like that.
Yeah, but, that's how posh we are. We have people buying, you know, picking up.
So now, if I ever want Sideshow stuff now, I generally tend to get it from, you know, a company that's imported it over here, but, it, you know, you end up waiting quite a long time. But, yeah, as I say, it's always going to be an issue. I mean, me personally, when I first got into a lot of high-end stuff, I was collecting a lot of Medicom stuff, and everybody knows how notoriously kind of, like, fragile some of their figures are. I remember getting the, my very first... comic book version of Spider-Man, and that literally just fell to pieces. Luckily, I'd only had it for a couple of days, and I sent it straight back. I bought it from like play.com UK, and they replaced it straight away. And the second one's fine. He's actually standing above me as I speak, standing next to a piece of a comic art that I've got, Spider-Man comic art. So yeah, luckily, again, I didn't have to send that back to Japan, and I wouldn't even know how to kind of like get hold of Medicom now. I used to have an email. I don't know if you heard earlier I was saying about the lightsaber issue when that got sent to me. And that was kind of just like more luck than judgment. But yeah, breakage issues, they're a pain in the ass, but it's kind of one of those things where you're a big company, you're putting out a lot of units, there's always going to be a small percentage of stuff that's going to be broken or have issues. And obviously the trouble is when you read the, you know, the forums, it's kind of like it's always the loudest people that are saying, oh my god, this thing's a piece of crap, and you know, it's actually only like a very small percentage of people generally. But yeah, I don't know, it's just one of those things we gotta swallow.
Indeed, we just gotta take that one. We just gotta take it like a man, that one, I guess. Yeah. James, what's your opinion on the whole? I mean, what have you had a recent breakage? What's been your most recent breakage? And your most traumatic breakage? Because often is the case. Because I don't know about you guys, sometimes when I get my hot toy and I can't get the thing together, I start sweating. And then your hands get slippy. And then you start making mistakes. And that messes me up something fierce, that does. So please say I'm not the only one that when you get a hot toy, it's kind of an exciting, but then you start getting nervous because you don't want to force anything. And you start getting sweaty.
Like Mike was saying with these Luke Skywalker issue getting the arm off, I remember absolutely sweating buckets taking the arm off of the first Arnie, you know, to put the endo arm on.
Oh yeah, that was mine
was so stiff, it was so hard, and I hair dried it, and I was pulling it, and I was thinking, god, this thing is going to break, and then it just came off and it was fine, but that caused a bit of sweating.
Yeah, like I said, I still haven't got that Luke arm off of there, and I'm hesitant to overdo it, right? I just don't want to try to force something. When I break stuff all the time, because that's part of doing reviews, you know, it's like, this isn't working the way I want to do it. That's no shit. But the I don't want to force this arm on Luke if it's just me being a moron.
Did you get the arm off, James?
I got a little freaked out about that arm, too. So I just used a hairdryer and it was fine.
It worked. You got it off.
Yeah.
It does easily come off then.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was scary for a second, but I heated it up for a couple seconds, like on the highest setting on my hair dryer, and then I just kind of tugged it, and it came right off.
Mike, you gotta get the hair dryer out, man.
Yeah, I'll try to find a hair dryer.
Have you tried? Have you not tried the hair dryer yet?
No, I don't have a handy hair dryer. What are you talking about? I'm a guy. I don't dry my hair.
Eamon and I have long hair, so we gotta use hair dryers.
No, man, I let the wind, but I just stick my head out the window, man.
Your hair dryer.
I don't actually use hair dryers, oddly enough, because it goes really puffy. Anyway, we digress. James, your most recent breakage issue. I'm sure that's far more interesting than our lovely perm hairdos that we sport.
I don't think I've never really had anything break. I broke like a peg on the Spider-Man 3 red and blue version. But I think everybody pretty much has it, right? Because didn't we hear back that it's made out of really brittle plastic anyway? Just something with a red dye. That's what I've heard. Except that I did... I guess the biggest thing I ever had... It's not really break. It just kind of didn't work. Was when I got the Ghost Rider from Sideshow. I turned the bike on. And only the lights in the back part lit up. So... the front part didn't light up at all. I tried switching out the batteries. I did a bunch of stuff and it didn't work. So I emailed Sideshow, and they just sent me a replacement. Basically, I had to break the old one. They were like, put it in a suitcase.
Oh, this malarkey. What? Yeah, let's talk about that next.
Put it in a pillowcase and smash it up with a hammer, and then show us, like, you know, take us some pictures just to prove you've done it, and then we'll send you a new one, which was fine, and they sent it to me, but it's a little heartbreaking to put it in a pillowcase and just smash it up, you know?
Oh, my God, that has actually just brought something back. I forgot. I did have an issue with a Sideshow figure years ago. It was the first 1/6 figure they did of Hellboy. And all that was missing on it was the little top knot at the back of the hair, like he had a little kind of ponytail thing at the back. And it just wasn't there. There was a peg hole there, but it was missing. Uh-huh. And, yeah, I contacted them. And so they sent me another one. But I just, rather than just sending me that little tiny piece of plastic, which I would have been quite happy to glue onto the head, they just said, no, you've got to destroy that and we'll send you a whole new figure. So I basically, I kind of destroyed it in a way that it wasn't too destroyed, if you know what I mean. So that when I laid it out and took some pictures, it looked pretty destroyed, but I kind of fixed it again. And so I've got two of those.
That seems terrible. Yeah,
I may or may not have done that as well.
Oh, what? Did you do the same in your Ghost Rider bike as well, James?
I can't be too specific.
I couldn't possibly comment.
Mike?
That does remind me of one where I had that same problem very early on with Sideshow. They did the Pop-Bot statue.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The one I got was both ankles were broken. One of the shoulders was broken. It was a mess in the box. I take out the box, it's already broken. And yeah, that was the same deal. They said, well, we'll send you another one, but you have to break this one. I don't really have to destroy it. It came destroyed, so pretty straightforward. Yeah. But, here's a question for you guys. How often have you broken something? Not like that, where it's just either came to you broken or within a week, you know, it broke. And so the company, there was some expectation it would get replaced. But instead, you screwed up. You broke it. It was all your fault. And you actually went out and replaced it because you liked it so much.
Marcus,
I've only done that once.
I did it with my Marcus Wright. My Marcus Wright figure, I was putting on my coat, and I don't know how it happened, but obviously it must have been when I was putting on my coat, and obviously I must have twisted that elbow joint inwards.
Yeah.
And it would just snap. And I was like, I really like the Marcus Wright figure. I thought it was really cool. I thought the movie was rubbish. But I thought he was cool. And he was a cool concept of a character. He reflected the original Infiltrator concept when he had, like, Lance Henriksen was supposed to be the original Terminator and Arnie was the hero. And they did some concept sketches with Lance, or at least one concept sketch with Lance Henriksen as the infiltrating Terminator. And to me, Marcus Wright harkened back to that. And, of course, that's what they were trying and failed miserably to do in the movie. But I loved the character. And I loved the figure. I mean, the little bits of stuff with his skin and he was just really cool, and the jacket was really awesome, and I loved his trousers and stuff like that, and I was like, he's too cool now. So I actually I went off and I bought, well, not the whole thing again, but I bought a whole body again. I have a spare body left over if anybody wants it for 20 quid.
Do you know what? I don't think I've ever done that. I don't think I've ever had something that I've broken and it was my fault and I've thought, no, I've got to go and get it again. There's nothing jumping into my head. When the first Aliens vs. Predator Alien came out, I was so blown away by it because I just love the alien design. I think I've actually got about three of the normal version. I've got two of the acid burnt version. I think I've got two of the brown version. I just really bought that one up. I just loved it. And the sad thing is most of them are in storage now. But at the same time, I just loved that design. But that was just me being greedy and the fact that I just loved the design. But no breakage issues with it, luckily.
The only time I think I've done that was with one of the Gentle Giant Harry Potters, and it wasn't because I loved it. It was the Cedric, which was towards the end.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, it might have been the last one they did. I don't know if they did another one after that. I'm trying to remember. But there was a real low run on him, and pretty much the demand was gone for those, and he was a pretty bad minibus too. You know, Gentle Giant is one of those companies that when their A game is on, they do some amazing work, and then when they got the C team in there, it's pretty bad, and that was clearly the C team on that bust. And I opened it up, took it out of the styrofoam, and immediately dropped it on the concrete floor.
Oh, dude.
I didn't have it for 3 seconds. I had smashed it all to hell.
No.
and I had to have it because I haven't got a complete set, right? You can't not have a complete set just because you're screwed up.
That's wrong.
So, yeah, I had to go and rebuy that one at an inflated eBay price.
But this breakage, this stuff that Sideshow, I mean, what do you reckon to that? I mean, to me, that just seems a bit excessive to smash up your figure like that and for them to make sure. There was videos of dudes smashing up their Batmans. Do you remember when the Batsuit Begins? And there are videos out there of dudes and of dudes smashing up their Batsuit Begins Batman because Sideshow asked them told them to smash it up if they want a replacement. I just think that's, to me, that seems wrong. I can understand why.
Yeah, I think from a bit, yeah.
But surely there's a bigger argument. I know their argument is there. It's like, well, you know, you're getting 2 figures for the price of one. Now if we send you another one, and I can see that kind of argument, and I'm like, I guess that is an argument. But surely the more overall argument is like, we're smashing it up as just, well, geez, you could sell this thing in a charity store. You know, you could flog it off. If that was the deal, if the Sideshow said, right, you've got to sell this now on eBay and all the proceeds have got to go to charity and we want to see the receipt. Instead of that, that would work. But
yeah, I would break every figure I got.
That just becomes that a pain, though, doesn't it? That just becomes a pain for the punter. I think it's, I can see where you're coming from, but it's just from a pure business angle, isn't it? They don't want you to be giving it away to someone because it can then kind of ends up cheapening the brand and kind of also kind of brings to light the fact that there are these quality control issues. They just want it to be buried. They want it to get it out of the way. And I can kind of understand it, but it, to a collector, it just seems like wanton destruction because you think, well, somebody could appreciate this even though it's slightly broken. Yeah. But, you know, you just got to take it as the business angle and think, no, if that's what they want.
About 2 weeks ago, I don't know, I forgive me if I mentioned this on last week's episode, I can edit out if I did, but I got to the big, I forget, it was, not Sideshow Collectibles, but they made the big Legend Demon, the demon from Legend.
The
Tim Curry devil dude from Legend.
NECA, NECA.
The big, massive 18-inch flipping thing. Yeah. It was an enormous thing. And of course, it was notoriously, the head, you know, sure enough, it came with mine, the head falling off. And surely, over the preceding months, the arm fell off, his torso fell off, everything. And I was like, Jesus, who's going to buy that? Who honestly would buy it? And I was honestly thinking about just putting it into the bin. But you know what? I got the craziest glue I could get, slapped them all together and says, right, I'm selling this. And I just declared it. This thing was smashed. It's held together with glue. It will not move. It won't do anything. It'll just stand there. So if you want for a display, it's there. I sold it for 60 quid. $60 or that's $100 to everyone else.
Yeah.
It's not too
and
bad.
That's not too bad. And someone was, they were delighted with it. Sure enough, it actually came to them. It didn't survive the trip. It came to them smash piece, but they didn't care. They put it all together again and they were delighted with it.
Yeah.
And it's just,
it is a hell of a figure.
It's pretty decent, but I was like, I don't have room for it. I was kind of fed up with it. It was just annoying that it was so smashed. But that person out there got it, and they were delighted with it. And I just think, you know, one man's treasure, one man's junk is another man's treasure. Or in this case, one company's junk is another man's treasure. And seeing those Batman figures getting smashed up like that was just crazy.
But it's funny
we've
talking about
to
it.
Deal...
Go ahead, Jason.
Sorry. We've had to deal with, like, a lot of QC issues as Masters of the Universe Classics collectors as well.
Oh, yes. So, yes.
And I know, Mike, you get those too, right? I always read your reviews.
Yes.
So, yeah, not to get into all that, but there's always an issue there too. So, I don't know.
It's more of like that's more like there's no real breakage issue at Masters, unless there was one breakage issue with the Masters Universe figures, and that was the Green Goddess, and evidently she exploded on some people.
I never had a problem with my Green Goddess, but I did have trunk tearing on my Snout Spout.
Oh, yes, I do have that. Yes, I do have that. Now, I don't know if Jeff is familiar with this. Jeff, do you have any masters?
No, I don't collect them, no.
Well,
they were kind of like they were kind of like, you know, really big when I was at that transitional period when I kind of was kind of forgetting about toys, and was that kind of Cars and Girls period. So I kind of missed the whole Ninja Turtle and kind of Master of the Universe kind of thing.
So, okay. Well, on this particular figure, it was an ingenious thing, because as a kid we always wanted this character, really ridiculous looking character, has got an elephant head, as you do.
Yeah.
You know, human body is buff as hell, so he works out, but damn it, we'll give him an elephant head with no tusks, might I add, and which he should have tusks. And his trunk was, you know, he always wanted to bend and be articulated as a kid, but obviously the techniques weren't there. And Mattel came out, and when it first came out, it was like, wow, that's like really cool. The material is kind of a soft, kind of bendable thingy, but it wasn't like
almost
that
foamy feeling.
Yeah,
like a nerf.
Yeah,
almost.
It was really nice, and it held the paint well and stuff like that. I was like, crikey, they've done a really good job here. They've obviously made paint that will stretch and be bendable or whatever kind of acrylics that's flexible that they can use. And it was like really cool. But now, everyone started coming back like a month or so later, or dudes who were just crazy bending it came back like within days and said, oh, the paint's off. And sure enough, I looked at mine and I didn't pose mine. I bent it in a certain pose, kept it there, and that's it. It was actually ripped as well. For small figures like that, I don't mind so much. But when it comes to a hot toy, it is kind of heartbreaking, because it's like, when that Marcus Wright thing happens, I was, oh no. And it happened the day I got him. And because he was an older figure, you know, Hot Toys wouldn't do anything about it. It was one of the times Hot Toys did reply to me. They did reply to me and said, sorry, we've got no more of these body parts left for this particular figure because he's so old. So one time they did reply to me and said, oh, sorry, we don't have the parts. So there you go. Go figure. I mean, I can only imagine that James must have been like, you're smashing up your Ghost Rider. Did you see anyone else smashing up their Ghost Rider figures, James?
I wasn't, as far as I know, like a widespread problem, and it must have just been, you know, when they were putting it together at the factory, they didn't connect some wires where they should have. I'm not really sure, but it was when I actually quote unquote broke it, I ended up pulling the front fork out of the back of the motorcycle body, and there's like a big long metal rod, I guess, with wires that are inside it that kind of, you know, trail back into whatever electronics are in the back of it. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like those were never connected. So, you know, and I tried. Does anybody else have that figure?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the seat's kind of rubberized, right? I tried to. I got like an X-Acto in there and tried to kind of scrape away the glue so I could peel back the seat and see if there was any way for me to, you know, open it up and fix the wires or anything, but it was to no avail.
All right.
So, or at least not for somebody with my mechanical capabilities, I guess.
Well, gentlemen, so as to not to end the show on a downer, I say we quickly dip our little toes, and they are little toes, into the poppies and potential nominations. Now, I haven't actually had a chance to go on there and stuff like that yet, but Mike Crawford, sir, would you like to give us a little quick rundown on what exactly the poppies and indeed potential nominations to give? So give me, because we don't know what the poppies are, and let us know what your think potential nominations would be, and the rest of us will carry in.
Well, the poppies are the Pop Culture Collectibles Awards. I started this about... it's at least 4 years ago. This might be the fifth year.
Yeah.
And I looked around. I always did awards on my website, best and worst. I was probably one of the few that did the worst. And then I also had readers write in and vote on best of the year. And I did that for probably 10 years now. I've been doing that. And I looked around. A lot of other websites were doing the same sort of thing. But we didn't really have sort of the industry perspective on any of that, sort of like the Academy Awards or the industry perspective on movies. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would be an excellent idea to create this award where it's voted on by a set of judges. There'll be about 150 this year from the companies. Some of them are retailers. Some of them are artists. Some of them, there's a handful that are well-known collectors, such as you guys. There's a handful that are quite a few that are from different media, both print and online. And so those judges get together, and they spend this time right now. We have a forum that they go to, and you can nominate, the 10 or 15 in each of the, I think there's about 15 categories now, everything from best overall company to best prop replica, best male figure in different scales, et cetera. And then once the nominations are all done, we'll spend the next couple months doing that. And the first week of January, we'll start voting. And then we'll have a couple of weeks to vote, and we hand out the awards. And starting last year, we actually did physical awards. We'd done certificates before that went to the companies. But last year, we did plaques that went to the companies. And I actually got some nice pictures back last year from Sideshow and Mattel and Hot Toys of their plaques at the offices. So that was kind of nice.
Oh, sweet.
Cool. Oh, that's awesome.
So will we all be able to sign up there? Is this invitation only?
It's invitation only.
Invitation only.
Now, I still do my best and worst, and I also do a reader's poll. And it's always interesting each year to see how the reader's poll matches up or doesn't match up with the poppies, because they get to use the same ballot. So, it's interesting to see where they agree and disagree.
Have you got a website for this, Mike? Is there a website where people can go and have a little look at this, or...?
Well, if you go to my site at mwctoys.com, you'll see in the features section the past poppies, and the last year poppy results will have links to all the previous year results as well. And then starting in about another month or so, there'll be a link on the main page once we get the nominations going a little deeper.
Cool. Well, I would suggest then that we end the show tonight then with our favorite hot toy. Our potential hot toy nomination, shall we say? Or Mike, give us one of the potential categories, and we'll each go through and we'll end the show on each of our choices for a particular category. And then what we can do then maybe next week is actually go into all the categories and we can each discuss each of the categories further and what our potential things would be.
Well, let's start out with the best male figure in the 12 to 18 inch range.
Best male figure from 12 to 18 range, James.
I'll go DX07 Luke Skywalker for sure.
I mean, mine's not really kind of human, but the one that is kind of really blindsided me is the Samurai Predator, which I think is a little work of art. It really is a phenomenal. But there again, you know, on the flip side, it's kind of early days. We've still got a few months left, and there's a lot of really hot, you know, hot stuff due in the next couple of months. So that could all change. Watch this space.
Right.
Yeah, there's a couple of things coming, like Hawkeye is coming next here pretty soon, and I'm hoping we see a couple other Hot Toys releases before the end of the year. But right now, you know, I don't know. There's quite a few of them that I really like, too. I like that IG-88 for the price. Sideshow's IG-88 was a nice figure. And you can't ignore some of the quarter scale stuff. I want to see that Enterbay Joker, because I suspect he could be up there as well.
Wow. Which would lead me to my nomination, which would be a very simple, clear-cut case, the Enter Bay Batman Begins. Hands down, the best thing. It's flipping amazing.
Absolutely. I finally have mine on the way.
Oh, excellent. Good stuff. Welcome to the club, James. Yes, oh, that's it. Now you're going to be like, ooh. It's a different experience. It's just a different experience.
Well, something I did get, which is kind of a different kind of toy, but that's the Play Imagination, or Play Imaginative, the Jim Lee Batman, the metal one.
Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, yes. We were quickly going to dip into that, actually.
He's very nice. The big issue with him is that his cape will not stay on. It's meant to hold on by magnets, and they are just not strong enough. They are way too... They literally just falls off, which is such a shame, because it's a lovely-looking figure. It really is. I mean, it's very stylized. It's very much a toy, albeit a very expensive one, and it's very heavy, and it's made of metal. And the articulation is obviously kind of good, but it's kind of okay, because it's made out of metal. You have to approach it with kind of realistic expectations. But it's a very handsome-looking figure. I really like the gargoyle they've given you with it to kind of stand him on. That for me is a really nice figure. If you're a Batman fan and you like toys, rather than it just being a kind of a film representation,
I think he's really cool. Tempted.
Well, I just wanted to mention, Jeff, that you said the Samurai Predator.
Yeah,
that's not on the list of nominations yet, so I'll make sure that you haven't been out to the website yet, have you?
No, not yet. No, I must must go and have another look.
Okay, I'll make sure that one gets stuck on there. However, the
Hawkeye
Batman
is
definitely on there.
Yeah.
And he's Hawkeye's really, really good.
Oh, you got Hawkeye.
Yeah.
I did.
Another one that I had forgot about. And you know what's funny is it really helps if you start thinking well back. Because, you know, just like the Academy Awards, I always complain about that because they only seem to pick the movies that came out in the last 3 months of the year.
Yeah.
We forget the stuff that came out in January and February and March. And one of the ones that I think was a terrific figure this year is the Nicholson Joker.
Yeah,
I really like that figure.
Yes,
I thought
indeed,
that was an excellent head sculpt. You know, and that was back in the spring, and people tend to forget him.
Yeah, I had a quick stroll around Forbidden Planet in London on Friday. Took the kids into town, and I was having a wander around, and obviously, as I say, I've got that figure, but just seeing it on display just made me think again about just how cool it was. I thought, God, I've got to get that thing out again, because he's been put away for a little while.
Who's clicking in the background there? Sorry, who's clicking? There you go.
Oh, sorry, it might be me playing with my metal Batman.
Oh, so, that's what it is! Well, that I can actually leave edited.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that is you.
Okay. I'll put him down.
Well, no, that's fine. That's actually good ambience background noise, right? So in case anyone's thinking that was like, what's going on there? That's him playing with the Batman figure. We did that on purpose.
Yeah, so he's got, because he's so heavy, he's got kind of ratcheted joints. He's got quite an interesting elbow joint where it kind of pops out, because obviously they want the arm to look kind of tight when it's kind of relaxed. But when you bend it, it kind of pops out on a joint, so that when you then open it again, you have to kind of push it back in.
Are we worried about the scratching on that? The scratching of the metal. I mean, when it presses against each different joint.
It seems pretty hardy. I mean, you know, I'm never that rough with my figures anyway. You know, I'm pretty kind of careful with them. But it seems pretty hardy. Some bits of it are obviously plastic. The majority of it's metal. I mean, it works well. It's, you know, it's based on this design that Jim Lee did specifically for the company. So he kind of looks like an armored Batman. And it looks cool, but I know they are planning on doing an Iron Man figure, which obviously makes a lot more sense.
I'll be all over that.
Being made out of metal. And I think it's based on one of the movie designs. I think it's going to be the Mark 6, I think, or is it the Mark 7?
Cool. Those are Bandai too, right?
So the company is called Play Imaginative. They seem to be kind of their own independent company. I don't know who they're affiliated, but I have looked at the website, and they do a lot of kind of vinyl toys as well.
Is this their first figure of this kind?
I think so, yeah. This is pretty much their first 1/6. Having seen it, I'm excited to see what they do with the Iron Man license. The only real issue on this one is that cape. That's a real bummer that the cape is just not designed well enough to stay on. I mean, obviously, I'm going to find a way around it myself. I'm sure I'm going to find some decent magnets, which I'll have to either sew into the cape, or you just end up plain gluing the thing, which would be a crime. But at the moment, yeah, that's my only issue with it. It's a good-looking figure, but, the cape doesn't stay on well enough. The
cape doesn't stay on well enough, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard it here. You've heard it here first. Now, that's a good, actually, place in the show there, I reckon, gentlemen. For everyone else who's listening in, you know, if there's any topics you feel we should be discovering or talking about or we should be covering, let us know. You know, send us in some emails. You know, my email address is Eamon@EamonArt.com. You can send your correspondence to me or any of the other ways. Mike Crawford has given you his web details there. So by all means, go and check that out. And, you know, if however you have any disparaging remarks against us, like I mentioned last week, we may very well send in the dogs. Thank you for listening to your ears this day. And as with any high-end figure, always, always handle with care. Good night to you all.